This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into 5-on-3, WFUV Sports' best, if only, hockey podcast. Tucker Austin here with Lydia Perner and Grace McCarron on Friday, June 19th, 2026. And somebody needs to file a missing persons report for the entire Golden Knights roster, because in six games, a storm surge has swept away the entire Vegas roster. No one knows where they are. It happened very fast, but a 3-0 win in game six gives the Carolina Hurricanes the Stanley Cup. An unbelievable series. Rod Brind'Amour lifts the cup 20 years after he did it as a player in the same place. Absolute scenes, and probably the good ending. I think everyone here would generally agree, and we've kind of been touching on that throughout the playoffs, that or at least throughout the finals, that Carolina would be the good ending over Vegas. But really quickly, before we get into the Cup final, that last game, how are you guys doing? Grace, we can start with you.
I am well, very busy these days, but kind of sad that hockey's over. It feels like everything's ending at once. We just had basketball end too, obviously, but...
Now yeah, and the NBA Finals ended a day before the Stanley Cup
right.
Finals, literally back to back.
Weekend, I was like, nobody talked to me, but yeah, now we have the World Cup, now we have baseball, for better or for worse on that one. But yeah, it's going to be a good summer of sports, but I'm sad that hockey's over. It's going to be, you know, a while before we see it again, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like June's the toughest month because we have all these incredible sports going on with Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs, baseball, this year the World Cup. And now it's like two of those just gone. And I always have this philosophy that wherever this NBA series goes, the NHL series goes the next day. Like Knicks won, I was like, all right, the next series, that hockey series, NHL is wrapping up the next day, even though it was 5-6. So it's like kind of the sad days of the year with less sports, but the Knicks won the championship. So at least we're happy on that front. And I was pulling for Vegas for reasons because I don't want the fact that Keandre Miller won a Stanley Cup kind of hurts. Happy for him, but like kind of rubbing it in Rangers fans' face a bit, whatever. And Brett Howden used to be my favorite Ranger player. And of course, and he was the Golden Knights' leading goals getter, which brings you back to the point, Tucker, of where is this Golden Knights team? Why is Brett Howden have the most goals in the playoffs? But good for Howden. And congrats to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, and, you know, like we talked about it last week a little bit on the show. Like Mitch Marner had an incredible game in this series, but like one game does not win a Stanley Cup final. The Golden Knights were really just – they looked like kind of a shadow of themselves almost, because, like, you know, they have the big talent there. Where was Jack Eichel this series and really almost like the entire playoffs? And then you have the goalie situation with Carter Hart. People wondering whether or not Tortorella was going to pull him by the end of the series. I don't know if they should have pulled him because he kept playing okay. But Carolina kind of beat him to the punch almost when it came to the goalie switch. And Brandon Bussey, my goodness, we got to give him the flowers where it's due. What a performance from him, backing up Freddie Anderson and then stepping into a Stanley Cup final where it kind of seemed like the Hurricanes were on the ropes there for a second and completely quieting everything, carried Carolina pretty much all the way to the finish and pitches a shutout in game six. You can't ask for anything better than that out of your goaltender. He was the first star of the game in game six to clinch the cup. I feel like that we've given enough time to the Golden Knights because like things just generally went wrong for them, especially down the stretch in this series. There was a time in this series we can't forget when we thought it was a shoo-in that Vegas was going to win, because year after year we've seen Carolina fall short at the doorstep. But the winds finally changed for the Hurricanes, partially intended, because Bussey came in and my goodness, Jordan Staal. I mean, I was going to mention before the show that it was kind of ridiculous that he had he only had, I think, 12 points in the playoffs. And he ranked fifth on his team in the playoffs in terms of points, but wound up with the Conn Smythe. Why, you might ask? Oh, it's because he scored six goals in the cup final and scored in every game except game six. Two goals in game four. Like, it was just an insane performance. So I kind of want to go generally. Lydia, we can start with you. I already mentioned Jordan Staal, but you can definitely just kind of pile on there. What did you see the Hurricanes doing right in this series? Because it seemed like they did a lot of the little things right, but what, like specifically, what do you think that the Hurricanes did right in order to get by the Golden Knights?
Well, a couple things. I think the first thing was I thought like after, well, I guess not after game three, when Vegas went up 4-0 that one game, it was game three, and then obviously they blew it, but ended up winning in overtime. I was like, man, like the Golden Knights are in a league of their own, because I was at fault like this year not watching that much West Coast hockey just because of the time zones, and I was like, I really didn't know how good the West was, how good Vegas was, but then they keep wrapping up these series, beating not Chicago, Colorado, who I was like, that's got to be the favorite coming out of the West, handled them easily. I was like, oh, Vegas has got to have Carolina, because when you looked at Carolina's path, not too difficult of a trajectory getting to the finals. That Canadian series, that was a good series win for them. But at that same time, what, the Canes had played 8 games, the Canadians had played 14, so a whole extra series. So you kind of got the benefit of, them wrapping up those series against Ottawa and Philly early. Two teams that, good teams, but they're not the Hurricanes. They're not, these strong teams. They kind of, there was some weak spots out east. We knew that with all our teams being out east. But definitely, I think when Brandon Bussy came in, Tucker, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but it kind of reminded me of Akira Schmid coming in against the Rangers that one year when the Rangers, everything was going for them. And then all of a sudden you make a goalie change, and Akira Schmid's not even that great of a goalie in the long run, but that goalie change like
My
flustered
God,
the
he was good
Rangers.
that series.
He was phenomenal. And then the next series he got lit up, but he did the job against the Rangers, and it kind of felt similar. Like Brandon Bussy comes on and just like the Golden Knights had no solution for him. And you know what? I'm happy for Brandon Bussy, because how cool is it that this guy literally never really been in the NHL and then wins a Stanley Cup? I know Grace and I would watch the TikToks of, I think, is his fiance's like outfit checks, and people were saying like Karl Anthony Towns is the lucky purse. Brandon Bussy's Mary, she had the Lucky Express black belt, people were saying online, because she wore it to every game. But it's just like, it was so awesome to see. As much as I hate the Hurricanes, Brandon Bussy have that performance, and just the Golden Knights literally had no answer for him, and he was so strong. He didn't really give up any rebound opportunities for the Golden Knights. But yeah, Jack Eichel has 2 goals in the playoffs. Sure, he had 20 assists, but you need your big guys to come through in those times, and they didn't. Carolina's big guys came through. Jordan Staal, obviously. It was, I think, like Ferraro and McDonough, every time Staal scored, they're like, what the heck is happening? How is he getting a goal in every Stanley Cup final game? But good for him, and good for the Carolina Hurricanes to win this one.
I'm glad you
Yeah.
brought up that series too, Lydia, because I should be hating the Hurricanes with every fiber of my body, but I still can't really get over the long-term injured reserve saga of the Golden Knights. And yeah, it just kind of made it made it easy to hate them when you wanted to hate both teams. And also Devils legend Taylor Hall lifts the cup and
He
is the
sure
first
did.
Taylor to be engraved on the cup. You mentioned Keandre
Wait,
Miller,
what?
he's also the first Keandre on the cup too. There's a couple of first time names on there for the Hurricanes. It's pretty interesting. But Grace, what were you thinking?
Well, first of all, also ex-Islander Mike Riley lifts the cup, which means a lot to me, personally. But yeah, Lydia was kind of saying what I was gonna say. Like, the Canes showed up in the way that the Golden Knights just didn't. Like, they Vegas just powered through Colorado. I still don't really know what happened there. Because they just ran through them. Obvious favorite, we can say President's Trophy curse or whatever. Like, if you believe in that, you do. I personally don't. But like, that to me was like, they should win the series pretty easily, but they had nothing. They had no responses for Brandon Bussy, who, again, like, we're not dealing with the greatest goalie in the NHL here. He just had a crazy run, and good for him. Very happy for him. And obviously they had some other guys too, Jackson Blake, you were talking about in the playoffs, Tuck, and Jordan Staal. Like, they showed up in a way that I feel like Vegas maybe didn't, and they They had that 4-0 lead in game three and they blew it and they still managed to win in overtime. But I feel like after that it was a new series and it's hard to come back from a almost loss like that. Like I think that's a little bit demoralizing. It's kind of the opposite of what we saw in the NBA finals where the Knicks pulled it off every single time and Vegas managed to turn it around when the Spurs didn't. But like you can't really let that happen. It changed the whole series, I think. So yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Hurricanes myself, but happy for some of those guys. And they finally kind of get the monkey off their backs and they finally claim the cup when they always kind of fell short in the Eastern Conference Finals. So good for them. Great performance. They seem to all really love each other too, which I'm always a fan of. So yeah, can't complain.
The biggest issue for us as non-Hurricanes fans going forward is how do you even stop this team? That
Yeah.
like you really can't. This is kind of what I've been saying about them for the past like 2 or 3 years, is that the Hurricanes are basically, well, they used to be a slightly less scary version of the Panthers, but now they've kind of swapped places because the Panthers had a really off year this year and the Hurricanes finally managed to step up when the Panthers weren't around. And it's sort of the same situation. Like, look at the Hurricanes now as the rest of the league was looking at the Panthers for the last, like, maybe not last 2 seasons, but for the 2 seasons prior to this year. It's going to be something else. But yeah, we should get into the Conn Smythe. Jordan Staal wins that one. Shout out to the Staal brothers in general. Their post game celebration was fun to watch. Also, Nikolaj Ehlers looking up to find his family after the empty netter
That
was
was
also a very fun thing to
cool.
see. All the celebration stuff was actually really fun and like wholesome. Even though it was in Vegas, there were still plenty of Carolina fans in the building. They did that little thing, like the storm surge thing with like the like they clap at center ice, they get all the fans going. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the Seth Jarvis like friends
Oh,
photo in
yeah.
the confetti. Like it's
Yeah.
all it's a lot of joy over there, a lot of good feelings. It's coinciding well with the World Cup. It's a lot of joy over there too. But yeah, Jordan Staal, 8 goals and 4 assists in the playoffs, but 6 of those 8 goals came in the final. It's a really weird, the Conn Smythe is an odd trophy in that way, at least in my opinion, just because they look at the whole playoffs first, but then if someone has an insane Stanley Cup final, it's basically a finals MVP almost effectively. The same way at like in other sports though, I suppose a guy can kind of steal a finals MVP or like in baseball, like ALCS, NLCS MVP by just being insane in the clinching game. Like I'm thinking of like Hideki Matsui's World Series MVP in 2009 for the Yankees because he hit 2 home runs in Game 6. Like that's kind of what this feels like for Jordan Staal, but I still like it. I like the pick just because he really put the Canes on his back against the Golden Knights. But then you look at a guy like Taylor Hall. He had 19 points, 7 goals. He didn't score as many as Staal, but he did score the opener in Game 6. That's kind of a guy. I know he already won a league MVP, and like it would probably be too much to get him a cup and a Conn Smythe. But as a Devils fan, I have to go to bat for Taylor Hall. What did you guys think of the Jordan Staal Conn Smythe pick? Was there maybe somebody else who probably should have wound up with it? I mean, you probably could have even given it to Bussy the way he played in the end of the finals. But Grace, we can start with you here. Is there anybody else who deserved this Conn Smythe more than Jordan Staal, or is Staal like the man they should have given it to?
I mean, I don't more. I would agree with the Bussy pick just because the circumstances, like, and it was also for a while there for Brind'Amour, kind of an uncomfortable situation with his goalies because like Freddie Anderson just didn't have it, but he also like Claude Lemieux was his agent and they were very close and he had just committed suicide like a week ago. It was like a horrible situation. So it was very like odd and it worked out very well for them in a world where maybe it n might not have. So Bussy and he took the job and he handled it and he was a wall throughout the entire cup final. So maybe him, but like Jordan Staal was just crazy in the finals. And like, obviously the Conn Smythe voting is kind of, you were saying to Tucker, like it's kind of hard because guys like have great series in like the first round and then, they keep producing throughout the playoffs and you're like, oh, maybe it could be that guy if they go all the way. But then somebody has just an absolutely insane performance like Jordan Stahl had in the finals, and it's like, oh, that guy probably like was the half the reason that they won the cup, and that's probably true. So I don't know if I would say that this is like the wrong choice. I think there were a lot of good choices, and there's a lot of guys that they could have gone with, and maybe it wouldn't have been the wrong pick. But yeah, my other, if I had to choose someone else, I think I probably would have given it to Bussy.
Yeah, I think the Jordan Stahl pick for me, I don't think the Conn Smythe necessarily needs to be like the player that scored the most, but Jordan Stahl, like he's the captain of the Hurricanes. And when you think of like the unspoken hero, nobody expected Jordan Stahl to produce like he did in the Stanley Cup Finals. And sometimes you kind of need a player to emerge. Like, obviously, he's very much a core piece of that Hurricanes team. He's the, like you said, he's the captain. He's the face of the team. But he's not the guy that you would always look, the Hurricanes would look to like, all right, we need a clutch goal. Let's get it now. There was other players throughout the regular season, throughout the playoffs, that were that for the Hurricanes. But then Jordan Staal kind of comes and is that clutch player. With the fact, with his age, with the fact he's the captain, and that probably this was one of his last go rounds, I think it was the correct pick to kind of give him that with all things considered. And he just, I mean, he was the one that when the Hurricanes needed it, he found the back of the net when push comes to shove. And in the Stanley, I know it's kind of recency bias with it only happening in the Stanley Cup final, but if he wasn't there, the Golden Knights would have probably won that series. Where a lot of the when you look at a lot of the other guys that were up there in points, you know, Jackson Blake, Logan Stankoven, kind of, you know, Aho expected guys to be up there. Brandon Bussy, I can obviously see the argument for it, wouldn't have been the wrong pick, but I think Bussy would even tell you Jordan Stahl deserved it. But also, side tangent, can we talk about for a second? Logan Stankoven led the Hurricanes in goals in the playoffs, and Cole Caufield won the Rocket Richard. Like, shout out the Short Kings. Can we just do that for a second? Like, that had to be shouted out. Anyways, back to the Conn Smythe. Yeah, I think Jordan Stahl was the correct pick for that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the Hurricanes are in a great place. That whole team, like, they're a well-built team, a good core. Like Grace was saying before, a lot of people are just really happy to be around that group or to be a part of that group, very similarly to how the Panthers seem to operate,
Wait, Chuck,
except
can I
a little bit
interrupt you
less like
quickly?
rats. Yeah.
Going back to that Panthers point, I think like when you think of the Hurricanes, like this was absolutely their year that they had to win because for some reason the two teams that have been their Achilles heel in the playoffs have been the Panthers and the Rangers. And I mean the Rangers now like were so out of it, but those like couple years they couldn't get past the Rangers and then they couldn't get past the Panthers. But I do think the Panthers are going to be back next year. I just think they were so injured this year that I think it's going to be really interesting to see how these teams line up next year when the Panthers get, you know, Barkov back, completely healthy roster. They were just absolutely depleted. And honestly, I think they were just fatigued. You cannot, in today's NHL, you cannot three-peat. I don't think that's possible because you saw the wear and tear of this Panthers team from two straight Stanley Cups and how injured they were and just how tired they were. I think next year, though, essentially the Panthers are on like a year of rest. I'm curious to see how they line up in the East, especially with this Hurricanes team and the Canadiens and Tampa. A lot of really good teams still in the mix, but I think those teams for next year are the four out of the East that you're like kind of wondering how each of them are going to line up with each other.
Yeah, and also feeling a little bit like maybe it's like a situation where this affected like everybody in the league, but I feel like the Panthers had a lot of high leverage guys who were playing Olympic hockey this year. And then like you look at a team like the Hurricanes, who, yes, they had guys who played Olympic hockey, but not a lot of guys who were like who had teams relying on them in the Olympics. So I'd feel like it may have been an easier run for some of those guys. The Hurricanes definitely seem to be like fully 100% ready for this postseason. I mean, they were, I'm not sure. I don't think they were ever in a position to be eliminated from the playoffs. I don't think they ever faced elimination during this entire run, which is honestly incredible in itself. But you mentioned the Rangers a little bit. I wanted to bring it back to the metro area teams a little bit and kind of looking at a path forward because the season is over. The NHL draft is coming up. We're thinking about a live show for that, so that might come to fruition. But either way, you mentioned the Rangers have been kind of a problem for the Hurricanes in the past. So I imagine if the Rangers could figure something out, they probably know how to do they probably
No,
know how to
Tucker,
deconstruct the
no.
Hurricanes.
They're not figuring it out.
The point
I
being,
really appreciate you giving me this optimism. It's not happening.
the Devils are in an awful spot compared to the Rangers when it comes to dealing with the Hurricanes. These guys have been the Devils' boogeymen for longer than they were finding success at the highest level. The Devils have had a problem beating the Hurricanes for so long, and now they are the kings of the NHL. I don't really know how to feel or what the Devils should do about this, because now it kind of seems like there's an insurmountable hill, and they have to just wait until the Hurricanes' window is closed. But I don't know if the Devils' core has time to do that much waiting. So that's where New Jersey is at. But from an Isles perspective, Grace, I mean, having a team like the Hurricanes in the East is not fun, but at least you guys have Matthew Schaefer.
That's honestly the only thing to say about them right now. It's possible they're about to lose their captain, to free agency, which is, he's 35, which is not young anymore, but kind of a scary thing, like looking ahead. Obviously, Matthew Schaefer, he's gonna be 19, I think, in September. Like, I don't think you can give him the C quite yet. You gotta wait like 2 years, I think, but I don't really know what. If they lose Anders Lee, I don't really know what comes after that for captaincy. Like, I guess Bo Horvat would probably be the next pick, but I don't really know. Like, you can't just force that really to me. But yeah, I mean, Matthew Schaefer hopefully is gonna have an amazing sophomore year. And we'll just have to see, honestly. Like, there's even been rumors about a Matt Barzell shopping around. That's, I don't even want to bring that up, but it is out there. That's going to be a bad day if that happens. But yeah, I don't really need this team. They had such a miracle run this year, and then they kind of fell short at the end, which is not really surprising. They were punching above their weight for a while, but yeah, I'm interested to see what happens. Unfortunately, they're nowhere near Carolina, I don't think. I've seen some people be a little more optimistic, but I just watching Carolina this series, like, I don't think they are anywhere close to that. Maybe give it a couple years, let some guys develop. They have some good, Cal Ritchie, I think, is going to be good. They have some good guys now in Hamilton, no longer Bridgeport, but yeah, like they could be good in a couple years. There's some pieces that they might lose that could be interesting to see how they replace those. But yeah, not really anywhere close to Carolina. Kind of the same as the Devils. I don't really know if they don't have it right now,
I was going to
clearly.
say, it sounds a lot like the exact same thing the Devils might have to do, which is just wait until Carolina becomes
Just
slightly worse.
wait. Yeah.
But
Or just
they're not
really
going to
turn
because
on the
they're such.
gas.
Yeah, the
Like,
Hurricanes are a young team. Like, they have a lot of young pieces still. And to be this good, it's like they're not going away anytime soon. But I have a kind of a point I want to bring up and a question for you too, with regards to free agency slash the offseason. Kind of jumping the gun on this, but I've had this theory because I know we kind of talked a little bit about the Olympics and kind of the, break and rest that some teams have had and others haven't. But when I look at like guys on the hot seat for trades or free agency type of thing. Like, let's just take Dylan Larkin and Vincent Trocheck, two of the best trade candidates available. Their landing spots happen to coincide with teams that have a lot, two Americans, by the way. That's an important point. Their landing spots happen to coincide with a lot of teams that had teammates on that Olympic gold medal team. Like, when you think of Larkin's preferred landing spots, Minnesota, Vegas, Florida, good teams, but those are also all have a lot of a couple players, crucial players that were on that Olympic gold medal team. Vincent Trocheck, some of his landing spots were like the Minnesota Wild. Another, again, what you had Matt Boldy, Faber, like a bunch of guys, Quinn Hughes on that team. So I'm starting to think like that US hockey team winning gold, the like, I guess for lack of a better term, like the brotherhood they created, I think players now want to go and like play for with teammates that they played on that USA Hockey gold medal winning team with. And I don't think this is a coincidence that these players want to go and to these certain teams. Like, when you think of like Minnesota, yeah, they're a good team, kind of random, Vegas, I can see it, low taxes, nice weather. Florida, same thing. But there's a lot of other good NHL teams that aren't preferred landing spots, and all of a sudden these ones are emerging. And I think it's because, I mean, Vegas, right? Noah Hanifin and Eichel, Panthers obviously Kachuk. Do you guys think there's any, maybe it's just a crazy theory, but do you think there's any sort of correlation there?
I definitely think it's real.
Yeah.
It's real. It's real for those teams, but in New Jersey, it's a coping mechanism. Because right when Dylan Larkin requested a trade, and even with his like original three team list, there's been rumors that it's expanding. But he gave that
They
three
have to
team list,
expand at the
and
end, yeah.
suddenly all of the Twitter accounts in New Jersey were just saying, "Oh, you want to be a Devil, right? You want to come to New Jersey? That's what we're hearing. We're hearing that you'd like New Jersey is one of the teams, right?" And it's insane because like Jack Hughes scored the golden goal. Yes, he's like the USA Hockey golden boy. He's been on the billboards and everything. And all like Devils fans just seem to be like, hey, this is like an obvious opportunity right here. But the unfortunate news is Jack Hughes is the only player of note on the Devils who played for that US national team. And those teams like Minnesota or Florida or Vegas have multiple players from that team. So if you're trying to replicate the success of a gold medal winning Olympic squad, you probably want more than like one other guy on that team where you're trying to go. So I 100% think that it plays in, and that these lists probably would have been a little different if that team didn't manage the gold medal. Maybe even if they managed the silver, but I still think if they didn't win that gold, that group probably doesn't think nearly as highly of themselves together as they do now.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's definitely something about like you build a winning, and it's, everyone talks about like, oh, I really want to win a cup. Like there is something about winning the gold medal for your country that I think players really, really like that's they crave that. And I think once you do it with that group of guys, especially it was so long since America had won, like they want to bring that back, and they have like this bond, and that's something that you don't know if you're gonna experience it again. Like you don't know your next, you don't know where you're gonna be in 4 years. You might not make another Olympic roster. Like the cup does come around every year. Every year you have that opportunity, but the gold medal only comes around once every 4 years. And I think once they, do it with one group of guys, they maybe want to replicate that, especially when the team is like the Wild, as we were saying. Like it's already a good team, Vegas and Florida for Larkin. Like Florida, I think I agree with you, Lydia. Like they're going to be fine next year. So yeah, it makes it all of it makes sense. I mean, I would say Larkin's list might expand
It's
because.
got to. It's got to. If he actually wants out of Detroit, I do think it has to
Right.
expand.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think, especially with like the Kachuk brothers like podcast, like hearing the way that those guys talked about each other, because like obviously the Stanley Cup is the main goal of every hockey player, NHL player's career. But I don't think a lot of these guys like this age thought that they'd ever have an opportunity to play at the Olympics. Because last time the players were at the Olympics was 2014. Not a lot of these players were in the NHL. At the time. So now it's like your only goal was the Stanley Cup, but there's something so different about, and I know the Olympics was so long ago, but there's something so different about putting that USA jersey on and not only putting it on, like defying odds and coming together and winning for your country and then like coming back like American heroes. I think it just like kind of put just like a different winning mentality into these people. And so, yeah, they're like gravitating towards those players. And I think that like I Tucker, I think you said, I think the lists would have been so different for like Larkin and Trocheck, a cut like had this Olympic, NHL going to the Olympics never happened. But I mean that's a problem for the off season. I was just curious to see if you guys picked up on that at all.
Yeah, I definitely think he like the list would have still had contenders. I just don't know if it would have been those specific contenders, just
Yeah.
because I that aspect of trying to recreate that winning culture from that team 100% plays into the decision making, I think. All I know is I need to see more Jack Hughes and Brock Nelson content. I need more of them on the ice at the same time, and the Avalanche just got swept in the conference final, so some pieces could be moving around. Who knows? More
That would really hurt.
coping for the Devils.
I just think it's a funny world where we're living in that like Minnesota is like a desirable landing spot.
Oh,
Minnesota's
they
literally never
have
been a
been.
desirable landing spot.
But they have been for the last like a good year now. Pretty
Yeah.
much ever since Quinn Hughes was like, yeah, I kind of want to go here. And people were like,
Now like
hey, now
everyone
look at
wants to go.
Minnesota. They got the Carilionaire, they got Faber. good goaltending up there. Like
Oldie,
it's
yeah,
all
good goaltending.
going well
Yeah.
for Minnesota, and they're probably like a year, maybe a year or two away. I wouldn't be surprised if they'd make another step forward next year, especially if they manage to land somebody like Dylan Larkin. But I think that's just about all the time we have for this week. Next week we're probably going to get into our awards episode and talk about everybody else in the league who won awards. Shout out Vasilevsky for picking up a random Vezina. But yeah, I think that just about wraps things up for us. The 2026 Stanley Cup champions, the Carolina Hurricanes. I know Maddie Bamonte is smiling somewhere. But thanks so much for listening. Thank you guys for joining me. For Lydia Perner and Grace McCarron, I've been Tucker Austin, and 5 on 3 is a production of WFUV Sports.